Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
God we serve on tonight. Today is Thursday night, December the 1st, 2016. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are told in the Word of God that we are to rejoice and we are to be glad in it. And I am so glad and I'm so grateful that God has spared my life to see another day. This is a brand new month. We are about to close out this another year. But guess what, people of God, on tonight? Someone that is listening right now, and it may be me, it may be you, we don't know, only God knows. We may not see tomorrow, but God knows who's going to be here tomorrow. He knows who's going to be here for the next couple of years. But it's always good to know that you are saved in Jesus' name on tonight. So we're going to ask all those that are tuning in on tonight, as we always do, we always open up in prayer. We're going to do the same thing on tonight. We're going to lift up our man of God on tonight that was originally scheduled to be on. He has come down with an illness, but we know that he is healed in Jesus' name, and the devil is a liar. He is a defeated foe. So I'm asking all listeners, if you go into prayer with me at this time, then we will go forward. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise. We come to give you glory. We give you honor, Heavenly Father, because of who you are so worthy to be praised. We know that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, We come seeking and asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, blot out all of our iniquities, Heavenly Father, so that our prayers and the word of God would not be hindered on tonight, that you would be glorified. We pray, Lord, that right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, that as the word of God goes through and goes forth over this platform, over this airway, there's someone who may be listening, who may be tuned in, who do not have a relationship with your son, Jesus Christ. It is our prayer, Heavenly Father, that on tonight, someone's spiritual ears and eyes will become open. They will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts, whereby they can be saved in his name. They will come to know their God purpose. They will come to walk and live in and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we also come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. We don't have to send you anywhere, Heavenly Father, because we know that you're everywhere at the same time. So we know that you are our healer. So we are asking, Heavenly Father, that you would touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick in their minds, spirits, and bodies right now in the name of Jesus. And then, Heavenly Father, we don't want to leave those out that are grieving right now, those that have lost loved ones. We know that you are a comforter. We know that earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. So we know that you are a comforter. I am a personal witness that you are a healer, and you are our comforter. So, Heavenly Father, comfort and strengthen those that have lost loved ones. We lift up their police officers, Heavenly Father, all of the land that are being shot down like animals, Heavenly Father. We pray for those law enforcement officers' families. And, oh God, we just need you, Heavenly Father, not only in Michigan and in Detroit. We need you all over the land. We know, Heavenly Father, that there's nothing too hard for you. We know that the enemy comes, he's seeking whom he may devour. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But we know that he is limited. He has limited power. But Heavenly Father, thank God you have all power in your hand, even over the enemy. So we just give your name praise on tonight. We give you glory because we know, again, that you are worthy to be praised. I come in the name of Jesus Christ, living up my pastor and shepherd, Bishop James A. Jennings. I pray, Lord, that you continue to move by your spirit in his life, continue to lead and guide him with the vision that you have for the Shield of Faith church family. And, oh God, I lift up my church family to you right now in the name of Jesus, and also minister to Ron Rambis, that he is healed right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray a special blessing and prayer and traveling grace for Elder James McCurry, Heavenly Father, as he's heading to Georgia, that he make it safely to his destination, that he will find everything well. And then on his return trip, that he will make it safely back home to Flint. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word will go forth on tonight with power, that you alone will be glorified on tonight through your word. We just give your name praise. We give you glory. We give you honor because, we know that there is none like you in all the earth, and you are so worthy to be praised. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come back over the airwaves again, once again on tonight. We pray that you will continue to bless each listener as only you can. In Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen. Well, you are in tune to the, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am the Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown, Jr. I would like you all to know that you need to get your Bibles out. Get your pens, get your paper out, because the man of God is going to come forth shortly. He's going to bring forth the word. And I always let the listeners know that it's very important that you get your Bibles out so you can follow along with the men and women of God that comes over this platform, because we don't want you to take it for granted or think that we're making up things, that we're coming up off the top of our head saying things. We want you to be able to read it for yourself, what the Lord is saying to his people on tonight. So get your Bibles, get your pens, and get your paper ready, because you're going to need to take notes. So there's a scripture or something that you missed during the broadcast that you can always go back over during the week, and you can focus and meditate on it, because there is always something good that the Lord is always speaking to his people. And then also he chastised us through his word. So we just want you all to get the word out, get ready to receive a word from the Lord on tonight. Yes, we do have a spirit of food for thought for tonight. And our spirit of food for tonight is we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, about to steal the man of God's message for the night. I'm looking at the wrong thing. God forgive me. But our spiritual thought for tonight is, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, regardless of the circumstances. Again, the spiritual food for thought for tonight is the joy of the Lord is our strength, regardless of the circumstances. So no matter what it looks like to you, remember there is joy in the Lord. The Lord is our joy. He is our strength. He is our everything. Right now, I do not have any announcements that I need to make on tonight. I just thank God for the man of God who stepped in at the last moment, and I thank God that he's available, made himself available to come forth in the person of Bishop Roselle Rutley of Pontiac, Michigan. He's going to be bringing the word tonight in the place of Minister Sharon from Shield of Faith. He is the CEO on tonight. So we're lifting up Minister Sharon Rambis from Shield of Faith. Again, Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor. My pastor and Minister Sharon Rambis, Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor. So we're going to keep Minister Sharon Rambis lifted up in prayer on tonight. But I do thank God for the ram in the bush in the person of Bishop Roselle Rutley of Pontiac, Michigan. Bishop Rutley, are you on the line? Bishop Rutley, are you on the line?
Well, Bishop.
Praise the Lord, Bishop Rutley. I heard someone. I don't know if that's Bishop Rutley or not. Praise the Lord. If someone can get his attention, I see his line is lit up on my board. If someone can get Bishop's attention and let him know that he's live on the air. When you tell me, we're going to move forward, and we're just going to, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. After we did this praise song, we're going to we open up with This Means War, because, yes, we are living in the last and evil days. We know that the handwriting is on the wall, and Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So we just thank God for the word on tonight. We thank God for Bishop Rutley, who's going to bring the word on tonight. Bishop Rutley, are you on the line? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to do a music break, and I will be with you all shortly. We know the enemy is always trying to throw a monkey wrench in, but we know that we already have the victory through Christ Jesus. So if you all would just bear with us on tonight, we're going to do a music break, and this is a very good musical selection. It's entitled Pray For Me. Well, America needs prayer on tonight. We all need prayer. Bishop Rutley, is that you? Bishop Rutley.
Yes, sir.
Well, praise the Lord, Bishop Rutley. This is Brother James Brown. Well, praise the Lord. We thank you for tuning in, for coming over the airwaves at the last moment and filling in for Minister Sharon Rambis. We're going to ask you at this time, Bishop Rutley, if you don't mind, if you would share with the worldwide listeners, if you would share with us a testimony first. And after your testimony, I'm going to do a music break. And then right after the music break, I'm going to give the mic over to you to deliver God's word. But first of all, I need you to share with me and the worldwide listeners. Please share with us a testimony first.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I first of all want to thank the Lord for this opportunity, and certainly we salute our host tonight and the personality of Brother James Brown. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, very clear now. Yes.
Yes. Well, we thank the Lord for this opportunity that Brother James Brown is sharing with yours truly. And certainly we have a testimony in that. We were raised a Southern Baptist. And, of course, God does not have any respect of person, to say the least. God can save whomsoever he will and whomsoever will believe and trust in him for such a time as this. I was raised and I went through the ranks as a crusader, a junior deacon. Ultimately, God called me into the ministry, and it was he, after all of my friends and associates as such and the things that I was involved in and with, it was God himself, the personality of the Holy Spirit, that touched me on the shoulder, and he confirmed and he clearly said to me that I was going to hell through the church. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm appreciative for God facing me and touching me and choosing me for such a time as this. When I came to myself, as it were, the prodigal son, because I was raised in church, and out of curiosity, I too desire to explore things of the world, but I'm grateful to God that my mother's prayers and my father's prayers and the saints' prayers kept me and did not allow me to go to the point of no return. When I came to myself, a young Caucasian young man by the name of Brother Bob Mayer witnessed to me, and at that time I was already preaching, and I was really offended that he thought I was not saved. And although I was a man of faith and I was going to church, I really wasn't delivered, because I still smoked Cool cigarette, extra menthol, extra long. I smoked weed and marijuana, the Acapulco Gold, as it were. I drank the Mad Dog, MD-2020, Red Dagger, Orange Screwdriver, Boone Farm, you name it. If it was sweet, I drank it. And after God had told me that I was going to hell through the church, I got sick and tired of what I was doing week in and week out. Although I would drink and hang out, I would go to church on Sunday faithfully, like many and like hundreds and thousands and millions. Go to church every Sunday. Go to Bible study every Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever night is designated for your Bible study. But I was not happy, because I had never, out of 21, 22, 23 years, I had never invited the Lord into my heart to be my personal Savior. After I'd done that, the young man that was witnessing to me gave me scriptures, and I sought to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. I sought to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And ever since that wonderful day, my soul has been satisfied.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a powerful testimony. See, that's, listeners, that is the reason why I ask all of you to share testimonies. Because testimonies are so powerful, because they are true. Because we know that had not God intervened in our lives, then we would not be able to tell our story of how God delivered us, how he healed us, and how he brought us through and made a way for us. So that's why it is very important that we share our testimony. And that's why I have all guests share testimonies over this on this platform. God gets glory through our testimonies. And our testimonies are a witness to other people that may be going through the same thing that God brought us out of or delivered us from, to let them know that if God did it for us, he can do it for them also. So he can increase their faith.
Amen.
Through our testimonies. So that's why it's important that we share our testimonies. Again, first and foremost, that God will be glorified through the testimony. That somebody can be saved through our testimony, somebody can be healed and delivered and set free because of our testimony.
Amen.
And we will get blessed when we share our testimony. So, Bishop,
Amen.
We thank you for that powerful testimony. And I know that someone that is listening tonight may be in the same condition that you was in before you yielded and gave your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Someone that's listening right now may be at that same crossroad. And now that they heard your testimony, they can stand on their faith and know that if God did it for you, he can do it for them as well. So we thank you for that, for sharing that powerful testimony on tonight. So right at this moment, before you go into the word tonight, Bishop, I'm going to do a praise break. I'm going to do a music break right now. And I'm going to ask if you would be ready. But after this music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic over to you so you can deliver God's word to us on tonight, what God has given to you for the people of God on tonight. But first, we're going to do
Amen.
This music break. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
they prayed for me. There was a musical selection by Moe Tyson. So I believe we are in a situation right now that the world needs prayer. We need prayer, people of God. We need to be sincere and be about our Heavenly Father's business on tonight. We see the handwriting on the wall. We know that Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So I just had to pray that musical selection. Pray for me. We all need prayer. Aren't you glad that Jesus prayed for you? Aren't you glad your bishop, your pastor prayed for you? You had a praying mother. Someone in your family prayed for you. That's why you're still here. Someone had you on their mind. And they prayed for you. And not only you, but they prayed for me too. So I just thank God for that musical selection on tonight. Pray for me. Well, right at this moment, we got to yield the mic over to Mr. Rutley from Pontiac, Michigan on tonight. He's going to bring forth the word of God. So again, listeners, I pray and hope that you have your word, get your Bible out, get your pen and paper so you can take notes. Bishop Rutley, at this time, I'm going to yield the mic over to you. And after you conclude your message, if you will stay on the line, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your information out, how you can be reached, and your contact information and your shout-out after you conclude your message on tonight. So right at this time, I'm going to yield the mic to you so you can deliver God's word on tonight.
Thank you, Brother James Brown. And again, I want to say you are a true man of soul, a spiritual godfather of soul. I think James Brown, singer as such, the world knew who he was, and I thank God that he is raising up a spiritual James Brown, somebody who knows who the Lord is and don't mind taking a stand regarding a dying world for such a time as this. I want to embark upon two schools of thought tonight. The first school of thought is that we walk by faith and not by sight. I really want to drive this message of faith home, because in the book of, if you will, Thessalonians, and also in the book of Jude, if you would go to the book of Jude and then write down Galatians 3:1, and also in Mark, I'm going to draw a thought tonight. In Jude, if you would look at verses, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you or ye should earnestly contend for the faith." And I want you to underline, and I want to tattoo the faith which was once delivered unto the saints on the hearts of the believers tonight. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, when the Lord returns as such, he will be looking for this same faith. Now, once this faith has been sown into the heart of men through the word of God, and we will touch on that momentarily, that faith is to remain. That faith will be delivered unto mankind through the word of God. And Jesus also, the Christ as such, he also was indeed faithful. The scripture tells us to have faith in God, and the scripture teaches us that we should believe and trust in the Lord for such a time as this. So again, Jude says to the believers, he says, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly," and this is what I want to say to the saints, that they should earnestly contend for the faith, not earnestly contend for denomination, for organization, for affiliation, for clubs, not earnestly contend for a threat or some type of society, secret society. Women have sororities, and they will do anything to join these sororities. God wants us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, if you would go with me to Galatians chapter 3, beginning at 1, you'll find Paul is dealing with the law versus faith in Jesus Christ. The law versus faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why I want to drive these two schools of thoughts home. And that is, we walk by faith, not by sight. And at the end of the day, you will discover that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Now, listen at what Paul says as he challenged, as he advised the Galatian believers. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" And I want to say to every believer out there today, regardless to denomination, affiliation, association, who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you, tricked you, misled you that you should not obey the truth? And understand, beloved, that the truth is not something. The truth is someone. Look at St. John 14, if you will, verse 6. Those of you that have your Bibles, make a note of this if you don't mind. St. John 14, verse 6 says thus, Jesus said unto him, talking about Thomas, you got to read all of this in your literature. And I have a very special guest with me tonight, one of my five sons. After I obeyed God, he allowed my wife and I, he gave me a beautiful wife as I sought him first. And any man that might be in the market for a wife, never seek the wife in hopes that she might be saved. Never go after things, never go after stuff, never go after fame, fortune, etc. But Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So as I sought God, God allowed me through the process of time to seek for a wife. And bear in mind, the Bible says, "He that findeth a wife." So no woman should find a man. If a woman have found you, that is out of order. If a woman is looking for you and she's pursuing you, that is out of order. It's not biblical. It's not biblically correct. I can see the blessings of God resting upon that relationship. "But he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and not only does he find a good thing, he obtains favor from and of Lord as such." So as I spoke first to my heart at the proper time, looking for a wife, as I sought for a wife, he sent me a wife, he sent me my favor, he sent me my will. So the kingdom said, "My will is that." And thus, after I obeyed God, he gave me five sons, and that's enough of grace. And I'm blessed today, not because I'm a multi-millionaire, but because of my family. And tonight, I want to push my family, I have with me one of my sons that we talk about faith, and he has an awesome testimony. We want to tap back into this message called "We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight," and faith is the victory. And I want to encourage this thing to hold on to their faith, if you will, for such a time as this. At this time, my fourth son, his name is Minister Vincent Rutley, and he was involved in a car accident several years ago. He was a liturgical dancer here. He was our minister of music. He writes stage plays. He's going to share with you his testimony And you're going to hear a fake message come through his testimony because he still believes in God. Yea, even for such a time as this. At this time, I present to some, introduce to others, Vincent Dean Rutley.
Hello, and praise the Lord to all the listeners out there. I'm glad to be here with you tonight. The Lord is doing some amazing things in this season. And as my father has spoken, I'm honored to be here with him. Bless you, Dad. This is my spiritual father as well as my natural father. And I'm grateful to God to have him in my life, have him as a leader. He just grabbed me a few minutes ago, and I was fellowshipping with some saints here at the church. What a blessing it is to always be able to have an opportunity to share not just my testimony, not just my story, but exactly what it is God is doing through me and for me. 2011, November the 2nd, to be exact, I was in a near-fatal car accident on I-75 here in Pontiac, Michigan area. And in the middle of that accident, I was actually T-boned by another driver going about 80 miles per hour. And the spinal C4, C5 in my neck was broken. The doctor said that it was actually severed, which means disconnected, and that it would be an incomplete disconnection, to leave me as a quadriplegic for the rest of my life. The same doctor that gave the message to my family and also told my family that they would not be able to operate on me came back 2 days later, and not only did they operate on me, but they did the operation in a different way. And it changed the diagnosis from being a complete severed quadriplegic to just being an incomplete, which means that it's still connected. And it wasn't that the doctors fused it together with the pedals. It was that the hand of God was on the body. And the Lord changed the diagnosis 1 week from being something that they said would be a vegetable. I would never be able to move on my own or function on my own. They actually thought I had brain damage. Hallelujah. But everything that man said, the Lord has turned it around in repentance. And not only to turn it around naturally, but I thank God for having a relationship with him before my accident, because that relationship is what allowed me to know his voice.
Yes.
And the first voice I heard when I woke up in the hospital was the voice of God. And this is what it said, people of God. It says, do not panic. I am healing you. I am going to heal you. And he didn't say that he was going to heal me the way I expected him to. He said, I'm going to heal you thoroughly. And one thing is true, no matter what man say, no matter what man see, if you know the voice of God and God promises you something, it is not our job to understand the process. It is our job to trust in God completely.
Man.
It has been 5 years since my accident, and I sit here before you today. I am in a wheelchair, but I can feel everything all the way down to my toes today.
Man.
Everything that the doctors told me I would not feel, I can feel. And because I can feel it, it is a representation of what God has promised me.
Mm.
You cannot move what you do not feel.
Yes.
And today I'm excited because even though I have a lot of pain going through my body, nerve pain, anybody that understands out there what nerve pain is about, I feel that 24/7 now.
Amen.
But pain is something great to somebody that should have been dead.
Yes.
I accept pain, and this is the greatest pain that I've ever felt in my life, because my pain today represents my healing.
Mm.
And just as I woke up in the hospital and I expected my healing to be that day, I still wake up every single day with expectations, yeah, asking the Lord, is this the day that you will totally heal me, Father God?
Yeah.
And it is not the day that I know that I am one day closer to my healing than
Thank
I was
Jesus.
Yesterday.
Amen.
And not only do I stand on this promise with faith, but I stand on this promise with expectation, not just for my healing, but for your healing as well.
Amen.
Because today the Lord has revealed to me, I may be temporarily paralyzed physically. There are many people in the body and in the world that are temporarily paralyzed spiritually. And though I give God my all, I give God everything that is within me,
yes,
I say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. man, this situation that I'm in is not about a punishment. It's about representing the healing power of Jesus Christ, and that he does the same healing today that he did back in the days of the Bible. Those were not just stories that we heard. Those were testimonies. And I'm grateful to God and in that number of testimonies of the healing power that he can do, that he will do, and that he shall do for our faith and our trust in him. Today, everybody that laid their eyes on me, I want them to know that even though they're sitting in the chair today, they have just become examples to lay their eyes on the healing testimony of what God is doing in today, in 2016 and 2017. I don't know how much longer I will be in this wheelchair, but I know that no matter how long it takes, the Lord's will is being done. I will not fret. I will not worry. I will not give up. I will not look at what man say and compare that to what's going on in my life. I don't need anybody to come in and to change my mind about what God is doing. I heard his voice, and that's all I need to lean on. I am grateful to God not just to be alive, but to be used by him. He knew that he could allow me to go through this testimony, that he could allow me to go through my body, the pain and the discomfort, and not being able to walk, and not being able to take care of myself for a season, just for him to raise me up and for him to get all the glory. When the doctors look at me, and when the nurses look at me, and when the therapists, and when the believers and unbelievers see the total healing of my body, they will be able to look to the heavens and say, this was not medication, this was not a therapy, but this was nothing but the hand of the Lord. And I'm grateful to God that he would trust me enough to go through as long as it takes to represent what he can and what he shall do for you and me in this last evil day. God bless you. I hope somebody was blessed by this testimony. I love you with the love of Christ, and I pray that your faith was increased on tonight as I share what God is doing. Bless you all. Continue to trust in God no matter what.
Wow. Wow. Are you there, Brother Brown? No. Wow. Lord Jesus. How awesome is that? And though he was still in the chair at the present time, his expectation and hope in God is still in place. His faith and not wavered in God even since the accident as such. And we do celebrate with him, and we give God the glory, the praise, and the honor, not only for what he has done, but for what he is doing, and more importantly, we thank God for what he is going to do. I want to turn your attention back. Thank you, Brother Vince. This is my fourth oldest son, and I have five, and all of them are in the ministry. Never been locked up, don't have babies all over the country. And I thank God for their faith. I thank God for their stand and commitment to the Lord. So I'm appreciative to God for the work of faith that he has performed and is performing in my life for such a time as this. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 5, and I've got to hasten on. Paul deals with faith versus the law. And I'm going to expedite time, just cut into this piece of living bread at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Therefore that ministers unto you the Spirit and working miracles upon you, doing ye it by the work of the law or by the gift of faith. Now, some people feel like the law can save, let me tell you, the law cannot save. In fact, some people feel like they can work their way to heaven. This is the work of faith, is a spiritual, it's a godly thing. And he
that's our faith coming. Listen to this. By the work of the law or by the hearing of faith. Let me ask you a question real quick.
Bishop, can I interrupt you for a second? Bishop, could you speak closer to the phone? Bishop, you sound like you're far away. Could you speak closer to the phone?
Can you hear me better now?
No, it sounds like I hear some background. Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Can you hear me better now? Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can.
All right. Bless you. And so it is, brothers and sisters. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. I can hear you, Bishop. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
And so it is, brothers and sisters. It is said here in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at verse 8. We're again Galatians, in case you're just joining us. We're in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 now. The scriptures foresee that God, guess this, would justify the heathens through faith. The only way an ungodly, a sinner man, or a man that may not be a man of faith, or may not be a Christian, is that he has faith in God through the preached word. Preach is for the gospel to Abraham. This word of God was indeed preached, yea, even to Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and through the gospel preached, God said, I'm going to save even the heathens, as he did Abraham as such. And he goes on to say, in these shall all nations be blessed. Every nation is blessed because Abraham believed God, and every nation has the opportunity to be saved if they would just but hear the gospel, believe, and receive the gospel concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you would turn with me tomorrow, chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. As they journeyed Jericho, they went out of Jericho, disciples followed, great number of people followed. There was a young man sitting on the side of the road who was blind. His name was Bartimaeus, sitting by the highway side begging. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry. When he heard Jesus, that it was Jesus, when he heard that Jesus was coming that way, this man cried out to get Jesus' attention. This is what he said: Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried, yea, even the more, a greater deal. Thy son of David, have mercy upon me. You got Jesus' attention. How many of you know, if you want to get Jesus' attention, you got to open your mouth. You got to say something. And that's why praise and worship is so necessary.
And when it's praise and worship time, beloved, it's not time for us to experience and to display holy quietness, blessed quietness. No, ma'am, no, sir. It's time for us to open our mouths. It's time for us to give God the praise, give God the glory. And let me say, anytime you got somebody pumping, priming you, and such, trying to make you praise the Lord, that's not in order. This young man recognized that he was blind. He recognized that he had need. He recognized that Jesus was coming that way. He cried out as such. And I mean, he didn't just let out a noise. He cried with a loud voice. In so much, he was irritating to others, and they encouraged him, as it were, to be quiet. And the more that they encouraged him to be quiet, he cried out even a great deal. Isn't that something? And that's what we got to do today, brothers and sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to cry out until we get God's attention. And when we do that, in verse 49, it says, "And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and said unto him, Be of good comfort, arise, Jesus calleth thee." Can I ask those of you who have cried out to the Lord, it is impossible for you to cry out to the Lord to the point where you get his attention and he not call you. Everyone who calleth out and call upon the name of the Lord, and I mean, don't just, you can't do it casually. You can't do it haphazardly. You have to cry out of a spirit of desperation, out of an attitude of desperation. When you do that and get God's attention, he will cry out to you and speak to you and say, "Be of good comfort, arise, Jesus called thee." 50 says, verse 50 says, "And he cast away his garment, rose, came to Jesus." Verse 51 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou have me to do unto thee?" The blind man said unto Jesus, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Can I ask a brother or sister out there? Can I ask a well-wisher? Can I ask a seeker? The difference between a sinner and a seeker is that a sinner is one who were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and refused, or who has not heard the gospel yet. Now, a worshiper is one who has heard the gospel and who have had a change of heart, and he acknowledged God. A worshiper is one who acknowledged God, because a sinner, God doesn't hear a sinner prayer. What a sinner must do is to get in touch with somebody who is saved, and they will pray for that sinner. Now, a sinner prayer, if he should pray, is not necessarily the prayer in terms of repeating what you hear somebody else say. You have to cry out of your own attitude of desperation, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other, and I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me, save me, deliver me." That's the sinner's prayer is when the sinner prays without somebody coaching him or putting words in his mouth. So if you're out there and you stand in need of prayer, you stand in need of deliverance, then if you hear this message, your heart has been pricked. You know that it's you that have a need. You've been blind for years of things. You've been blind of the truth. You've been blind when it came down to understanding. You've been blind when it came down to love. You've been blind when it came down to, if you will, obeying your parents, or following order, or direction. You've been blind when it comes down to doing what's right. You may be a criminal as such. You may have gone through the system. But if you can hear God speaking to your heart right now,
now is a perfect time for you to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. Lord, I was blind, and I stand in need of my sight. Verse 52, Jesus said unto him, go thy way. And I want you to underline, thy faith has made thee whole. And let me say to those of you who are seeking the Lord and you stand in need of deliverance, you stand in need of various blessings, I want to use this illustration. I want to use this parable, if I might. When is a woman with child? Is a woman with child when you see her anatomy changes, or is she with child at the moment of conception? Well, beloved, let me hit you out. She is with child at the moment of conception, whether you ever see her body change or not. And that's to say, those of you who would trust and believe in God and have faith in his word, where when you hear his word coming from the man of God or the woman of God's mouth, when you conceive that word in your heart and you desire to be saved, you desire to be delivered, you are saved at that moment. Now, you got to go back up to scripture where it talks about the law, verses 8, because you got to understand, those of us who are genuinely saved, we're not saved, we're not working, brother, trying to get saved, but because we're saved, we're working. Those of you that have a job, you don't go to work trying to convince somebody to hire you, to pay you. No, ma'am, no, sir. You go to work because you have a job now. Same with the believers. The believers are working their soul salvation because they have been delivered. And we are working now as unto the Lord, if you will. So as you cry out to the Lord, as you make your request known unto him, he will hear you, and God will deliver you. And when he hears you and deliver you, you need to begin to work and move into a positive direction, in a new circle, if you will, because the scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man, any individual, if you will, that can be Hungarian, that can be Muslim, that can be Catholic, it can be Baptist, Episcopalian, Church of God in Christ, Church of Christ, Apostolic, it doesn't matter about a denomination. A denomination doesn't say. Denomination have set up to divide us, divide, division. Christ came to bring us together. I came that you may have life, he says, that you may have life more abundantly. It's the enemy, it's the devil, if you will. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He divides and he conquers. So God is not interested in a denomination. No, no. He's interested, if you will, in salvation. Christ didn't come to tell us how far away from God we were, but how close to God we can become. So Jesus said unto this man who sought him out, who got his attention, Jesus said unto this man, after he said, I just want to receive my sight. Well, the God in whom we serve, this is a small matter. There's nothing too hard for our God. All things are possible to him that believes. Look at what he says. Go thy way, thy faith. Do you have faith? And there are those of us who attend church somewhere, always questioning the word of God, questioning, if you will, the doctrine, saying, can God do this? Can God do that? It's not a matter whether or not can God do this, that, or other. The question is, do you have the faith to believe? Jesus said unto this man, go that way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Let me give you some steps. Now, Brother Brown is going to step in, and he's going to direct us momentarily, and he's going to do that graciously, and I'm waiting on him to make that move. But those of you who might be taking notes, if you will, I want you to understand and write down, number one, the word of faith. The word of faith. This is recorded in Romans 10:8, verse 14 through 17. Verse 8 said thus concerning the disciples. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is, underline this, guess this, the word of faith which we preach. Those who will receive faith, faith will come by hearing, or come by the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. And it's got to be the truth rightly divided. Romans 10:14 says that. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear, catch this, without preaching? Every preacher that has been called of God, some have not been called, they just went. Some called themselves. But a preacher that has been called and sent by God will preach the truth of God's word.
Listen, praise the Lord. 14. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Bishop.
Yes.
I don't mean to cut you off, but we're running out of time. Bishop, I need to have you back on. I need to have you come back on again so you can complete this message. Because this is a powerful message that you're bringing to us on tonight. But my time is winding down right now. If you could, I need to reschedule you so we can pick this up again on the next time you're on the air. I definitely need to have people come back on so you can complete this message. But because my time is winding down, I want to thank your son for his powerful testimony. Thank you for your testimony, Bishop. We have about 30 seconds left. I definitely want to have you back on real soon so you can complete this message, because this message needs to be heard out in full. This is a powerful message, and the enemy don't want it to be completed, but we got to complete this message. I'm definitely going to set a date for you to come back on and complete this message. So for our worldwide listeners on tonight, know that God loves you. Know that I love you, too. Know that there is nothing too hard for God. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And know that there is faith in the we have victory in our faith. We thank you, Bishop Rutley, for tonight. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your testimony. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word on tonight. We pray, Lord, that something has been said to someone that was simply blind before. Now that their spiritual eyes are open, they can open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts, Lord Christ, and can be saved in Jesus' name on tonight. We know that you are right now, God, that there is nothing too hard for you. Continue to bless the man of God that brought the word on tonight. Oh, God, we pray that you're going to make a way for he's able to come back over the same airways and complete this message. Because we know that the enemy did not want it to complete it, but we got given an opportunity. You be willing, Lord, and you say so, that he's going to be able to come back on this airways and complete this message that needs to be heard. So with the Bishop, in the name of Jesus on tonight, we pray that you will be glorified through Bishop on tonight, through this word, that you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Bishop Rutley,
amen.
I just want to thank you so much, you and your son. Thank you for that powerful testimony. And I do have an issue that I've been with my seizures. All the nerves in my left arm are permanently damaged. Been like that for 25 years. But I'm still standing on the word of God, that I'm still here in the name of Jesus Christ, just like your son said. Even though he may be in a wheelchair, stand on the word of God, because he can do it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's nothing too hard for God. While you're in that wheelchair, you're still in a vessel. You're still being used by God. So you say, well, mouth, God can still use you. So I thank you for that testimony of Brother Rutley. Continue to let God use you. Bishop Rutley, again, I thank you for stepping in at the last moment and filling in for my minister, for my church on tonight. And know this is not going to be your last time. I'm going to have you on again for this message on tonight.
But
for the worldwide listeners, know that God loves you. Know that I love you too. But until this coming Saturday, my special guest is going to be Dr. Patricia Heisman. She's also from Pontiac, Michigan. She's going to be bringing the word on this coming Saturday. So tune in on this Saturday. Let your friends and neighbors and church members know to tune in every Saturday and every Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. over the same airwaves for the word of God that goes forth. That God be glorified through the word. And know that I love you. Know that God loves you too. Until next time, continue to be blessed. Good night.
Yes, sir.
So